it's very important that when you come to church, it's very important that you listen to the sermon, listen to all these teachings that is going on, all the ministrations and songs, because God could be speaking to you through them. You need to know the truth. Because if you don't know the truth, you'll be vulnerable to lies and deceit and all manner of stuff that's going on, superstitions, spiritism, the core Christianity, incantations, ritualism, all manner of stuff that is going on today. And the Bible warns us that the devil is going to spew out all these things in the last days. And if you don't know the truth, I don't know how you can discern when this deceit comes, because it tries to deceive all of us. So knowing the truth is not what you do for somebody else, you do it for yourself. It's important that you know the truth. Very, very important. Because you see, if you are living your life on lies, it will not produce the life of God. You will be losing. All those ritualism, all those stuff people do, doesn't produce the love of God in anybody. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples, what? Indeed. And he came and connected it to something. He said, if you're my disciple, people will identify you because you love the way I love. You are going to love the way what? I love. And we don't need more religion. We need more love. You can't love like Jesus except you continue in the truth that is teaching. Ritualism, religion will make you wicked, heartless. We have too many wicked people. We don't want more. They are causing enough havoc in homes everywhere. So it's important that when you come to church or when you study the Bible, ask God to give you understanding. Let God show you what he means. The Bible says, rightly dividing what? So you will not be ashamed. So you will not be ashamed. And so, part of the truth that God wants us to understand is about this resurrection that we are talking about today. The events of this weekend. You must, every Christian must understand, because this is the most important thing that happened. Every Christian must understand what happened this weekend and how it affects your life every day. It's very critical. If you don't understand the events of this weekend and how it affects your life, you are going to live a lie. And like I said, at the end of the day, lies will never produce life. It produces death. So, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ is a very, very critical thing in the life of every Christian. It is through this process. I want you to listen to me now. It is through this process of the death on the cross, listen to me, the burial of Jesus, and his resurrection, the three of them, death on the cross, the what again? Burial. What follows that? It's through this process that God made it possible for your nature to be changed. If this didn't happen, our nature would never be changed. And if our nature is not changed, we're not going to heaven at all. Because Jesus made it very clear, you must be born what? Except a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. You are not seeing it. So born again is to have a new nature. The scripture calls it the new man, the new creation. But it is through this process of death, let me repeat that, burial and what? Resurrection, that you became a new man. If it didn't happen, it will be impossible. And because we do not really believe these things, we don't even understand them, we are wasting a lot of effort trying to be good. Instead of believing what God has already what? Done. We are trying to, struggling to. If we could do it another way, Jesus won't come. The Bible says, if there's a law that will give life, God would have given it and saved his son all this time. We Christians are struggling, putting a lot of labor on ourselves. And when you get stressed, everybody that comes near you feels it. Because you throw anger tantrums at everybody. Because you are trying and failing. You know you are failing though. Because that's not the route. That's not the route. That's one of the deceit the devil does. Jesus said that men put what? Burden. But he said, I came, give me your what? Burden and rest. What we are trying to do is what only God can do. And God has already accomplished that. Can I hear amen? I said, God has already what? Accomplished that. And everything God has done for you and me, I want you to listen. He made it so cheap and so easy, you can get it. Everything God, healing, everything God has done for you and for you, is not difficult to get. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to be educated. Literally has got it. Anybody can get it. God made it such a way that is so easy. Very easy. In fact, easier than saying A, B, C, D. Easier than saying A, B, W, D. Easier. Very easy. It's only two words. Only believe. That's all. What did I say? That's all. All this ritual you are putting is on your own. God didn't prescribe it. God did not prescribe you have to turn around, turn to the left. He didn't prescribe it. It's all this thing that I'm telling you that the devil is using to make it think it's difficult. The Bible said that God gives and is not looking for a reason not to give. He's a giver. He gives profusely. So he made it so easy, brethren. All he said is only what? Tap your neighbor and tell him what I said. It's nothing else. That's a request of you. And the reason he gives it, again, let me tell you something. The only reason God will do it for you is because he loves you. God has not done motive for doing that. The Bible says, for God so what? That he gave us his only begotten son. And every benefit that comes with that giving is just for this one reason. Because he loves us. Anybody trying to make you create another reason is wasting his time. Let me tell us, ladies and gentlemen, God can make up his mind. You don't try to bamboozle him. He's not interested in all those things we do. That's not from him. He's already made up what? He said this work was finished from the foundation of the earth. So he's not waiting for you to come and do all those things to impress him. He's not impressed at all. And so Paul began to write to the church, emphasizing this one thing, that the burial, the dead burial in Jesus Christ, was where God changed the life of men. Amazing. Amazing. Every church he wrote to, he was emphasizing that thing, was pointing it to them. That's part of the revelation he received. He was pointing to them. God already changed you. God already changed you. God already changed you. God already changed you. God already what? Changed. You are not what you used to be. You are not what you used to be. You are not what you used to be. This is the power of God that transforms. This is the power of God that saves. This is the power of God, the gospel. This is the power of God. He saves. He said, look at me. I'm of all people. He said, I'm an example that Christ came to save what? Sinners, of which I am chief. He said, look at me. This thing saved me. I'm a new person. So he wrote to Galatians and began to emphasize this thing that Jesus said, you must be born. He said, this is the critical thing. This is the main, the real McCoy. You have accent. Have accent. He said, McCoy. It's not McCoy. Are you from a club? Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth what? Anything, nor uncircumcision. Can you put it up, please? Put it up. You all Gentiles inside there. Galatians 5:15. Of course, you have your Bible, so let's go. I'm reading King James Version. I'm reading King James Version. King James Version. all, not biting and devouring. That's not what we're talking about. Galatians 6:15. 6:15. 6:15. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availed what? Anything, nor uncircumcision. But what? A new. He said, that's what matters. That's what matters. Being made new. That's the crunch. That's the bottom line. That's the red line. That's the bottom line of all these things we're talking about. You must be born again. You must be made a new creature. This is it. He said, all these things don't matter. And then you go to the next verse. The next verse. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace what? Be on them, and mercy and upon the Israel of God. So this is the bottom line. You must be born again. You must be made new. You can't enter heaven with the old nature. It is sinful. And so he wrote to Colossians chapter 2 verse 8. He says to them, in Colossians 2 verse 8, don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense. High-sounding what? Nonsense. I'm reading New Living Translation. All the King James people say amen. Your number is reducing every Sunday. You are losing people every Sunday. Don't let anyone capture you with empty what? Philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from human thinking and from spiritual powers of this demonic of this world, rather than from who? Christ. Continue. Verse 9 now. We're going all the way to 15. Verse 9. For in Christ lives all the fullness of God. In what? Him. He said Jesus carries the fullness of God. You don't need any other thing. Don't need any other thing. Then the next verse. Verse 10. So you also are complete through your union with Christ, who is the head over every ruler and what? Authority. Verse 11. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by a physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, cutting away of your sinful nature. That's how you got changed. This is not behavioral management. This is not psychology. This is not philosophy. This is God's power. God did this thing for a reason that reason can't understand. A reason that what? Reason cannot understand. And if God cut away my sinful nature, why am I trying to cut it? It's because I don't know what God has done. Can I hear amen? Let's continue. I'm not done. Continue the next verse. For you were, you see now, he started this barrier, the death of Jesus, barrier and resurrection, how it is through this that God cut away that thing. He said, for you were what? Buried with Christ when you were baptized into him, and with him you were now what? Raised to new life because you trusted the mighty power of God. Simple, only believe, you just believe. Who raised Christ from the dead? Continue, next verse, 14. 13. You were dead because of your sins, and because of your sinful nature was not yet what? Cut away. Then God made you alive with Christ, for he forgave all our sins. Continue. He canceled the record of the charges against us, took it away by nailing it to the cross. 15. In this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. Let the church say amen. Because what the devil trusted is a sin. It was sin that gave him right. Before Adam sinned, the devil couldn't do anything. So now your sins are wiped away. He has no more gum to hold you. Can I hear amen? And then he wrote to the Romans 6:4. He's still talking about this thing we died, buried. Still talking about it. Romans 6. For we died and we are buried with Christ. You see, the same thing he wrote to The Colossians, he's writing to the Romans, he wrote it to the Corinthians, he wrote it to every church. And he wrote it to you that you are Christian today, that you have been buried with Christ, and today we are talking of resurrection. You have also what? Risen in newness of life. You are not what you used to be. You don't make a fault. It's done. 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 Don't say, oh, my own is anger from my forefathers. No, you died with Christ. You buried with him. You rose a new person. Your nature is the nature of God. Stop. Pastor, I'm going to stop this anger. You don't know what you're talking about. The thing will stifle you. Because you are setting aside what God has done for you and trying to do it another way. Why don't you say, blessed be the name of the Lord. I died with Christ. I rose with him. I'm a new creature. This anger has what? Been cut away from me. He said, what's your test? What is your test? Where do you have the right to say that? The word of God is my testimony. He that believeth shall not be put to shame. If you are following me, say amen. Amen. You enter his rest. Only believe. So in that Romans 6, 4, for we died and were buried with Christ by baptism, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives now. Verse 5, since we have been united with him in his death, we will also be raised to life as he was. Verse 6, we know that our old sinful selves, we are what? Can we read 5 together? Can we read 6 together, please? Let's go. 1, 2, go. We know. Stop there. Whoa. Do you know? Have you come to know it? Christian 10 years, 15 years, do you know this? Paul said we know it. You are not telling us. We are convinced this is true. We know. So you can go and say, I know. When you are faced with something, say, wait a minute, listen. I know in whom I know what he did in my life. I know. And you put the shield of faith up right away. And say, you are not operating here. I know. I am not what I used to be. You go to your wife and say, you know, I used to be angry all the time. But I realize now, I know now, that I'm not that person anymore. You have a new husband. She will go to messes for you. Because you've been harassing her life. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. You went to the altar, promised her you will love her. She hasn't seen that love longest time. All of a sudden, you come from church today and say, you know, my honey, sugar, whatever she prefers. I'm sorry. I found out I didn't believe what God did. I'm a new creature. I'm a lover. Loving like Jesus. From today, you have a new husband. He said, watch what Jesus is doing. Men, she will see the glory of God because you believe. Only believe and you will what? See the glory of God. Very simple thing. The same thing that used to make you angry, she will do that. You go and hug her. Say, sweetie. Let's read what we know. Take it back. What we know. What we know. We know that our old simple self was what? Crucified with Christ, so that sin might lose what? Its power in our lives. Can the church say amen? Amen? That's the power of the cross. That's the power of God. Only God can do this. Only God could do this. Paul said the power of the cross. He said, man, you have no idea what power God displayed there. So that sin might lose its power over our lives. We are no longer what? Slaves to sin is over. He asked a simple question. Who has believed our report? The reason we are struggling with sin, we refuse to believe what God did. And we see we are doing Easter. Easter is not for eating rice. Easter is for celebrating that sin is no more your master. If you believe that, say amen. Then he created us in Christ, a new person, so that he will have a place of habitation. You know, when Solomon said, I'm going to build you what? Then he asked Solomon a question. He said, what house, what are you going to build? He said, what house? He said, my arm builds my house what? For me, he was referring to what he would do in Christ. That I'm going to build a house for my habitation. So when he created us new, he built us with a place of his what? Habitation. Only three people are saying. Let me try here. When he created you new, he built you for a house of what? Habitation for himself. So he can live in you, walk in you, make you to will and to do what? Of his good pleasure. And as the Bible says, you are the house of the Holy Spirit. Hey, let me hear a big amen. Amen. Now look at 2 Corinthians 6:16. He called us the temple of God. He called you temple of God. He says, and what agreement had the temple of God with what? Idols. Say, why the temple of God? Romans 8:10. Romans 8:10 begins to tell us the benefit of Christ living in you. Christ in you, the hope of what? Glory. So we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Can you say to yourself, I am the temple of the Holy Spirit? Say it louder, come on. So now Christ is living in you, and then the scripture, Paul is saying, this is the benefit of Christ living in you. Please listen to me. Do you know? There's a woman we talk about. She went and touched what? I don't think we're interested in hem or garment anymore. What are you doing with him? When Christ is joined to you, you become one spirit with him. You are talking of him. You are joined to Christ already. You are what? Joined to Christ already. You have something more than the him. You have Christ himself, whole self, living in you. And Paul is saying, thank you. Paul is saying that spirit of Christ in you is oozing power through your physical body. You didn't get it. This is bamboozling some of you. It's a dark spirit of Christ in you is what? Is releasing power to your physical bodies. Releasing healing, continuous healing. If a woman touches his garment and power healed her, how about you touching his spirit? Simple question. If a woman touched the garment, physical thing, how about you that you are joined to his spirit? Isn't that power flowing through you? And the Bible said, the body without the spirit is what? Come on, talk to me. You're not listening. It's what? If your spirit lives, the body dies. Which means your body receives life from your spirit. I remember a sister that shared with us in Lagos how she died. I think she died at childbirth. He said, I was watching how they were washing my body. I said, really? Say yes, I was watching them. He said, they were washing my body and I was living. It described everything they were doing. And I've forgotten how the Lord said, no, you're going back to the earth. And she said, I said, enter through my mouth or something. He said, immediately I leaped into my body, the body came alive. She's still alive. This is the body that decays, but there is the spirit that goes. And so the Bible says that the body without the spirit is what? Which means the life that this body has is coming from your spirit. Am I right? Come on, church, am I right? Now, if your human spirit keeps your flesh alive, what will the power of the Spirit of Christ in you do to your flesh? Christians don't know anything. That's why we live below our capacity. We grapple with what we shouldn't what? Grapple. Because the Bible says, only believe. And you shall see glory. You grapple with what you shouldn't grapple. I mean, if your spirit, human spirit, is keeping your body alive, what will happen? That now the spirit of the living God is living in you, adding strength to it. Don't you? Are you the one that's going around and saying, the Lord is the strength of what? What are you talking when you say the Lord is the strength of my life? Is he not the strength of your arm, the strength of your ear, the strength of your eye? Which means he supplies strength to your body. That's what Paul is saying. If you understand me, say amen. You say, Pastor, but I haven't seen it. Have you believed it? Do you know it? Is it not when you know the arm of the Lord is with you? Have you ever stood up and said to something, you can't invade this body because there's power that's oozing out of me. That's the power of Christ. And the thing will stop. That's why we reign in Christ. Amen. Let me show you what happened in the book of Acts. If you are following me, say amen. Amen. You see, that's why, hey, look up. Don't look at us first. Look at me first. That's why the Bible says, even if you drink any what? Deadly thing, it shall what? Not hurt you. Because inside of you is life that is oozing from the power of Christ all over you. If you drink it, it won't harm you. That's the reason. And that's the reason you shall lay hands on the sick. Because there is power inside of you oozing out. And when you touch it, the thing flows, touches them. The question is, who has what? Believed. Who has believed? Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I remember sometimes the Lord will say, go and lay hands on all those girls that are married. Lay hands on them, it's time for them. And I'll just go, you people will be dancing. You know, I'll go behind because I don't like people seeing people falling under the power. I don't want people to think, to be distracted from what they are focusing and worshiping God. Sometimes I take them behind. Sometimes I take them inside them. Because it's not sure. It's for real. And then you will lay hands on them. And they are getting pregnant. They are really getting pregnant. I'm tempted to lay on my wife. Try it on her. I told my wife, I said, since you came to America, don't you like these hospital beds and things? I said, let me take you to see the kind of food they give. Abba, I said, can't your faith carry one more? Let's try. I've been preaching. She had refused to believe. Oh, ye of little faith. I used to have one supporter. Ugo, my last boy used to support me. All of a sudden, he abandoned me. He used to support me. He said, Daddy, yeah. I think he realized that I was talking trash. So he left me. You shall lay hands on the what? The sick, and they shall. Why? Because the Spirit of Christ, you see, is the prerogative of every Christian who has Christ in him. Lay hands on your children when they are sick. You rebuke the thing and say, the power of God is in me. I lay this hand and this power is activated in the name of Jesus to knock out that sickness. God will be proud of you for trusting him. God has no use for people who don't believe him. Christians who don't believe God aren't too useful. Because by faith, you bring glory to God. It's by faith. Read the whole Bible. Men who believed, who acted in faith, God used them to reveal his glory. So here we see Paul, Acts 28:3. And when Paul, King James Version. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffered not to live. And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit, they looked when he should have what? Swollen or fallen. Brethren, they looked, expecting him to at least be swollen or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they had looked what? A great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said, he's what? He's a God. Did Paul pray? Did you read how he was praying? Did he bind the serpent? Praise the Lord. Paul said, we know. What you know makes a difference. When David showed up, they were all running, they were all shaking. He said, wait a minute. Who is this uncircumcised what? Philistine. Saul said, no, you don't know him. He's a king. He's a great warrior. David said, you don't understand what they're talking about. He's still uncircumcised. With all these things he has, he doesn't have God with him. He's an uncircumcised person. We are the privileged people. We are the armies of what? Living God. He said, all of you, you stay back. I'll go teach this man a lesson. He said, today, you will know there's a God in his... What you know makes the difference. That's why my people perish for... Paul threw it in a way. He was confident. Christ in me is the hope of what? He wrote it himself. He said, if the spirit of he that raised Christ from the dead is in you, he gives life to your mortal bodies. He knows it. That nothing will happen. That thing beat into his heart and beat into the power of God. There was a story about one missionary in South Africa, John G. Lake. I don't know if anybody read it. There was bubonic plague that killed a lot of people. And then British government sent a medical team with the vaccines. And they were afraid for him because he was a missionary there. And when they got there, you know, people, when you get the bug, you foam. Once you foam, you die. And then that foam is millions of that bacteria. So when they got there, they said to him, we need to inoculate you. He said, I've been inoculated before you came. And they said, who inoculated you? He said, the Lord of the Spirit of Life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the Lord of sin and death. He said, Christ in me, the hope of glory. They say, you are talking nonsense. You need help. He said, okay, can we prove it? He said, well, let's prove it. He said, you are a scientist, I'm a Christian. God can be proved. He said, okay, at the form of those people is all this bacteria. Bring it out, sit under the microscope. Yeah, put it in my hand, they will all die. They did. They put it in his hand, they died instantly. Why? The spirit of God, what? Is in him. He's oozing life to his mortal bodies. But the question is, who has what? When they offered him that, he said, no. If I perish, what? I perish. I believe this thing is true. Faith takes, if I perish, I perish. You don't have second plan. Once you bring plan B, you are not believing nothing. It won't work. You better go to your doctor immediately. Can I hear amen? So the Spirit of God in us is described as the anointing. Is described as what? Every Christian has the anointing. Stop waiting for another man. What is wrong with your own anointing? Is it stale? It is stale because you don't believe it. 1 John 2:27. But the anointing which you have received. But the anointing which you will receive. Come on. But the anointing, which what? You have received of him. Does what? Abided in you. And you need not that any man will come and be teaching you. Because he said, as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie. Even as he hath taught you, you shall abide in him. He said, the Spirit of God is in you to teach you, leading to all truth. He calls him the anointing. Do you have the anointing? Even your mouth is not strong. Do you have the anointing? Yes. I can't hear you. Do you have the anointing? Yes. If you have the anointing, say amen. Yes. So why are you waiting for the man from New York? What happened to your own? Let me tell you something. If you don't believe the Bible, even if ten men who are anointed come, it still will not work. Because Jesus went to preach to them, Mark chapter 6. The Bible says he could not do what? Put it up there, Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. Couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything because they couldn't believe it. And if he couldn't do anything then, he still cannot do anything now. Mark chapter 6, 5 and 6. And he could there do no mighty work. He couldn't do means he could not. He was stopped. He could there do no mighty work save he laid his hands upon how many people? Few sick folk and heal them. Verse 6. Why couldn't he do that? And he marveled because of their unbelief, and he went around to other villages teaching them. If Jesus couldn't do anything then, He doesn't change. He still can't do anything. If you like, bring 20 men of God. Call them anointed. If you still don't believe, after all, it's still the same Spirit of Christ working. Praise the Lord. And so, God is in us. It's a reality. And it's in us because He created us a place of habitation for Himself. And this creation was possible because of the death, burial, and what? Resurrection of Christ. So we are new creatures in which God lives. Now, the other thing that God is doing, this is the last thing I will give you. Next Sunday, I'll teach you about the high priestly office of Jesus. It's such a marvelous thing to learn. Praise the Lord. Now, the other thing that Christ is doing in us is 2 Corinthians 5:17. You see, he's still talking to the Corinthian church about what he told the Colossian church. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. 18. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of what? Reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and had committed unto us the word of what? Reconciliation. God was in Christ, church. God was in Christ, and Christ is now in us. And what was God doing in Christ? Reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their what? Trespasses unto them. I want you to understand this critical thing. God was in Christ, not imputing their sins on them, reconciling the world unto them. It simply means that God was in Christ loving them. They brought a woman with, they caught what? In adultery to Jesus. And said, sir, the law says that this woman should be stoned. And Jesus bent down and started writing with his finger. I told you what the law told me. He said he was writing on sand to show them that the law you're quoting was written by this finger too. And I wrote it on that clay. So we're writing on sand to show them this is the same finger that wrote that law. So you're not telling me what I don't know. But God was in Christ, not imputing what? Iniquity. So he said to the woman, I do not condemn you, because God was in Christ, not imputing iniquity. So we go and what? Sin. Where did you find Jesus most? Among the ones that the Pharisees will not go to. The ones that nobody wanted. The Matthews of the time, the custom officers of the time, that was the people he was among them. He went to their party, and then the Pharisees stayed out and said, if you are a prophet, how can you hang out with this kind? He wasn't imputing iniquity. He was loving them. He was loving them. He was loving them. And he met this one called Zacchaeus, who was the chief of them, a thief by profession. And he said to Zacchaeus, I'm going to what? Your house. He wasn't imputing iniquity. He was loving him. And because of that love, Zacchaeus said, you know I'm a thief. He said, I know. I came to love you. Zacchaeus said, all my life, nobody has ever put any value on me except you. He said, today, I'm going to return everything what? I've stolen. I want to ask you, how many sermons did Jesus preach? Loving him. When somebody loves you genuinely, it will change your life. Genuinely will change your life. If somebody loves you genuinely and gives you what you don't merit, that has value, if that man tells you sit, you are going to sit. Because you know he means wealth. Jesus was loving him. A thief, you understand that. But I will stay in your house. Nobody wants to stay in your house. All these religious people don't want to stay in your house. But I will stay with you. The man was flabbergasted. This holy man staying with me, say, yeah, Zacchaeus, I'm not visiting. I came to what? Stay. Passing the night. That's what Christ in you wants to do. He wants to love people. He doesn't want you recording what they are doing and talking about it. When you are in that ministry of recording what people are doing and talking about it, you are not serving Jesus. No. God was in Christ, reconciling what? The world things. Not imputing trespasses. He knew they couldn't help it. And that's why he said, by this shall all men know you are my what? Disciples. If you live the same life of love that I also what? Lived. If you will be in this world and not impute iniquity on people, if you will live in this world and not write their sins on your paper, on your heart, if you can live in this world and not say, I condemn you, you are doing what I did. And that's what will change their heart. So he said, I committed to you the same ministry of what? Reconciliation. How can I reconcile to you if in my heart I have 10 things against you? Explain it. Every time I want to deal with you, those 10 things will show up. So I have not reconciled to you. How can I be in the ministry of reconciliation? You see why the church is weak? Because we are not walking in unity with the Spirit of Christ. In the early church, they will come together and somebody will say, there are people who haven't eaten. They will go and sell their land and bring the money so that their brothers will what? Eat. And they will come together to pray. Heaven will fall. The whole place will start shaking. Shaking up. Because they are in unity with Christ. In the same ministry of mercy and love. What we call ministry is yelling all night. Shouting at the devil. But the heart is not in the ministry of reconciliation. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you know how many people we kill with our mouth, sting them. Let's bow our heads.
You have just listened or viewed another teaching from the Orange Foursquare Church family. Please visit http://store.ftlw.org, where you can listen to other teachings freely, or you can purchase and download MP3s. Thanks and remain blessed.